Turn with me to the second chapter of the book of the Acts. And look with me at verse 28. I was struck the other day when reading this chapter, which I have read, I suppose, hundreds of times. But I noticed where was the highest place in the life of the Lord when he was filled with joy. Filled with joy. It wasn't the place where he was under attack from evil men. It wasn't the place where he was being questioned by his disciples. But according to verse 28, it was the place where he hung on Calvary's tree. And when he was taken down from that tree and buried in the sepulchre that they buried him in. And what does he say? What are his remarkable words? Listen to them. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. But Lord, you're dying and you're going to die. But his death was going to be the greatest victory of living. And by his stripes, we who are already dead, thank God, are living again by the power of his might. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, not the ways of death. Thou shalt make me full of joy, not full of pains, not full of darkness, not full of agonies, not full of all of the pains and agonies of his death. He will be made full of joy. There was a time in heaven, when the loudest music of joy was heard. When was it? When the cross was finished. And when he cried, "Finish!" It's not three words in the original text, it's just one. "Finished!" And the work was done. The price was paid. The sinner was saved. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things had become new. The loudest music of joy that ever came from the city of God came in the day that the Lord conquered the devil and every imp and demon of hell. He arose, yes. He didn't arise in pain. He arose in joy. This marked the end of the power of the grave and the turning of death into the triumph of everlasting joy. This was a jubilee indeed, but a jubilee the like of which had never been experienced before and will never be experienced again. For this wonderful breaking of the power of hell and the wonderful flow of the current of joy unspeakable can never be repeated. Thank God no part of the soul of Christ was left in hell. His tongue was loosed with gladness because he had finished the work that God had asked him to do. Here we have gladness begun that will never end. Here we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Here is the resting and hope of God the Son, and the resting of his immaculate and sinless flesh forever. Finished! And the work was done. Finished! And the price was paid. And finished. I will never be in hell. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. My happy soul is free, for the Lord hath pardoned me. Hallelujah to his blessed name. His soul was not left in hell. His human soul had escaped, and instead of death breaking Christ, Christ broke death forever. He did the breaking. He did the fighting. He gave the victory. And what a victory sound was heard around that sepulcher. Christ's soul could not be left in hell. Neither could his Holy One see corruption. Rather, his Holy One could not set his eyes on corruption, nor could his soul be left to corrupt. Death was checked forever. Life with its deathlessness had been forever brought forth. Listen to these words. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy holiness to see corruption. What a statement of truth from the voice of God. God the Father made known to his co-equal eternal Son the ways of life and filled him half full of joy. And filled him with some times of joy. No. But he filled him, we read, full of joy. He couldn't be any more joyful than he was. And that's what he is in heaven tonight. He's the risen Christ, filled with joy. Oh, the wonder of it. Filled with joy. And his talents that he has given to us, he has filled us with joy, so that these talents we can employ. What to do? To celebrate the victory of the cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There's a precious fountain. Free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary night, Calvary's mountain. I can cry aloud from this gospel pulpit this night, there is no hell for Christ has suffered the pangs and the pains of death, and there's no more the fire of hell, as far as Christ is concerned. It's gone out forever. It's eternally obliterated. Therefore let all the house of Israel know, verse 36, know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. My brethren, my sisters, let us rejoice this night. Rejoice, says Paul. And again I say rejoice. again and again and again, I say, rejoice. Having made this position clear, let us come now to learn the eternal truth of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, his rising from the tomb and his reign from his Father's throne. This subject falls to us in a threefold meditation on the promise of joy. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. This text is the keystone of a joy that is unspeakable and a joy that is full of glory. It is the unstoppable flow of the undiminished and undiminishing glory of God in the face of our risen Savior. Here we have joy, wonderful joy, victory joy, everlasting joy through the blood of the Lamb. I do receive it. I do receive it. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. My happy soul is free. For the Lord hath pardoned me. Hallelujah to his blessed name. I never come to stand at the cross, but my heartbeat doesn't beat quickly. I never peer into the eye with the eye into the face of Christ, who bearing sin and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And I like to say, as I look up into my Savior's face, you did it for me, Lord. My sins deserved eternal death. But Jesus, who is Jesus? He's the Savior, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I feel that heaven will be too short to praise God for he did for me, a sinner condemned unclean. You have three views of the fullness of love here. You have it in retrospect, you have it in aspect, and you have it in prospect. And I would invite you to take your Bible and start reading under those three heads. What about a retrospect of this wonderful joy? If you want joy, real joy, let Jesus come into your heart. Your sins he'll take away. Your life he'll turn today. If you want joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart. The retrospect of joy. Away back when there wasn't a star created. Away back in the darkness that was judged by God, and it's hinted about in the first and second verses of Genesis chapter 1. Away back in the silences of eternity, when there was only the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Away back there, God planned it, that he would have mercy on a nation and on a people and on a world that wasn't even ever thought about at that end time. Oh, the wonder of the Father's love. It gave a Son. Oh, the wonder of the Son's love. He gave himself. Oh, the wonder of the Spirit's love. He took what the Father gave and the Son gave and wrought in the womb of the Virgin when the time came. The wonderful blessed body that he would take into union with his own deity in order that he could die for me, my Lord and King. It is with solitary dedication we appropriate all the living revelation of the wisdom of God and the power of God. And that is what we dare to call the holy face of God. No lie is off the truth. That is the test, the litmus test in this important debate. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to God's word, there is no light in them. But I turn over to Psalm 19, verse 7 to 14. And what do I read? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is a great reward. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and our Redeemer. But I turn secondly to the joy of God in aspect. Oh, who can describe the wonder of this gift of God, which is without money and without price? What a glorious salvation there is here, life everlasting. When you are taught God's truth, and when you believe God's truth, and you accept God's truth, you can say it is without money and without price. But let me take you down to the river that divides the great city of God. Let us stand on the brink of that river that divides the everlasting throne of the everlasting God. What a prospect awaits the saints of God. What a baptism of enjoyment and a topping proof that nothing will ever be lost. This is the King's commandment, that we're saved forever. And none of those with their faith in Christ can be judged, for they are already judged in the person of the surety of our salvation. Many a time the disciples wanted an easy way, wanted a different way. But the Lord was moved with great compassion, and he set down that multitude who were hungry and whom the disciples said, tell them to go away. The Lord never sent a hungry person away. from his side. He doesn't dismiss hungry people. He saves them. He feeds them. He redeems them. He makes them what they really are forever, the sons and daughters of the King of Heaven. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. The cross, it takes our guilt away. It holds the fainting spirit up. It cheers with hope the glooming day. It sweetens every bitter cup. The balm of life, the cure of love, the measure and the pledge of love. It takes the terror from the grave. It gilds the bed of death in light. Amen and amen. And everybody that believed it said, amen, and shouted, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet to be dismissed. O God, our Father, we thank thee for thy presence here tonight, and for thy word, how good it is, and thy banner over us is love. We pray for those that are not saved, that this night they may come to the Savior and make no delay. Here in his book he has shown us a way. Here in our midst he's standing today, tenderly saying, come. Lord, bring them in. And we pray that this little room behind here, that people will come in there and kneel down with us, and we'll have the great joy of pointing them to the Savior, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Bless the women folk in their meeting. Make that a saving meeting as well. And oh God, help us in these days to stand up for Jesus as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And may thy blessing, the blessing of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest, remain, and abide with us all, now and forevermore. And the people of God said, amen, and shouted, hallelujah.